God in prayer, and then we'll have our statement of faith. Eternal God, our Father, we honor you and give you thanks again for another great day that you have prepared. God, please let us continue to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for this day that we celebrate our youth, and we pray that you continue to lead us and guide us in our service, God. We thank you for your presence. And God, we just ask now that you bless this service. In Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
Statement of faith.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is my word of truth.
It is the word of truth.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I am a believer and not a doubter.
I'm a believer and not a doubter.
I'm a doer and not just a hearer.
I'm a doer and not just a hearer.
I'm humble before the Lord.
I'm humble before the Lord.
I'm obedient to the Lord.
I'm obedient to the Lord.
I'm mature in the Lord.
I'm mature in the Lord.
I'm enthusiastic about the Lord.
I'm enthusiastic about the Lord.
I know that faith comes by hearing.
I know that faith comes by hearing.
And by hearing the word of God.
And by hearing the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, with that said, we'll go to our scripture where we've been for the last several weeks in John 3:16. And the word of God says this: For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, you may be seated. You may be seated. Well, this is going to be our fourth and final sermon in the series that we have simply entitled Intentional Love. Somebody say intentional love.
Intentional.
And we've said intentional is the fact of being deliberate or purposeful, something done on purpose, something that's not accidental or unintentional. Love, we said in the English language, we use various words to describe love. And those meanings can go all the way from adoration to lust. But we said that in the ancient Greek culture, there were four basic words used to express the different kinds of love. First, we talked about eros, and you need to repeat, so this is kind of refresher training. We should all know these by now. First was eros. Eros was that sensual, passionate love that you would have for someone in a sensual or sexual relationship. But it's also passionate love that a person can show for their country or for their church or for their community. Some of you are very passionate about the things that you do in this ministry. Some of us are very passionate about this country. And some of us are very passionate about the community that we live in. And storge is that love. That is that caregiving love, love of compassion, a type of love that parents will have for their children through their devotion to their children and to their family. Filial love, we said, that's an emotional love between friends, commonly referred to as brotherly love. We see a lot of that in the Bible, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And we see and said that the city of Philadelphia derives its name from this Greek word, Philadelphiae, which means the city of brotherly love. The last form of love we talked about was agape. Agape is the highest form of love. It is pure, selfless, and unconditional love, and it reflects God's character and God's nature. And we said it is love that is not based on emotions or circumstances. So this love has nothing to do with how you feel about folk or what you think about them. Amen? Or whatever the circumstance may be. When we love at this level, God expects us to love people in spite of. Amen? But this love is rooted in sacrifice, commitment, and God-likeness. It is the will for other-centered love that is unmerited and does not require anything in return. Because it's that love that God used when he loved the unlovable. Amen? So in our series, our main focus has been on agape love. Last week, we saw how we used Jesus' teaching of the golden rule to inspire us to intentionally treat people the way we want to be treated if we were in a similar situation. We found from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Roman church that love is a debt. Somebody say love is a debt. Love is a debt that we owe, and we have to intentionally pay this debt every day. Amen? And we saw from the Apostle Paul encouraging and exhorting the Galatians or the Colossian church that believers are to intentionally put on love. In other words, every day when we get up, we have to make a genuine effort to put on love. And he says, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. If we want to have harmony and peace in the church or in the family, it must be girded up in love. Amen? Now today we're going to get the Apostle John's take on love as he was writing to believers in 1 John. And we will close with a brief look at our text scripture, what we just read, John 3:16. But in 1 John chapter 3, and these are some long readings, but they got a lot of powerful nuggets in here that I want to dig out. But if you would, 1 John chapter 3. And when I start reading, I'll read 10 through 19. But here the Apostle John was encouraging believers who were surrounded by false teachers, who were teaching things that opposed the will of God. And he reinforced what we already know, that God requires believers to love their brothers and sisters. He says love is imperative. It is crucial to our relationship with God. Because he lets us know that if you don't love your brother or your sister, he makes it clear that you don't belong to God. Y'all got to get that? If I don't love you, I don't belong. If you don't love me, you don't belong to God. He also reinforced the truth that real love requires sacrifice, and it gives, and he gives us a simple example of what that sacrifice could look like. Are y'all with me in 1 John chapter 3? Look at this, he says this. So now we can tell, somebody said
we can tell.
So now we can tell who are children of God. Somebody must have wanted to know. You know, today in the world, we may want to know, who are the children of God? Everybody running around talking about, I am a child of God, but who are the children of God? So he says, now we can tell who are the children of God and who are the children of the... So it looked like in this life, there's two types of children running around out there. You're either one or the other. There is no in-between. You know, God is very binary. For me or against me, one or another, male or female. So here he says, either you're children of God or you're children of the... Now, if you're not a child of the devil, you ought not be sitting here too quiet.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. If you're here on Sunday morning, I believe you're here on God's behalf,
Amen.
Not the devil's. Amen?
Amen.
But look at this. And anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not what?
Love God.
You know, family, I always talk about the Bible, and people don't like these does not, do not, and all that. But in this one passage of scripture, I see does not about three times. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Man, that's a simple test right there. If you don't love me, I know who you belong to. Amen. If you love me, I know who you
belong to.
So you got to make up in your mind, who do you belong to?
Uh-huh.
And we can tell by your love.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Go ahead.
All right. Love one another. Look at this, verse 11. He says, this is the message you've heard from the beginning. We've been talking about this for 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we should love one
another.
That's a simple message. Then he says, again, showing this difference between good and evil, either for me or against me, you know, either you're a child of God or a child of the devil, he used the example that took place in the garden. He says, we must not be like Cain. Somebody say, must not?
Must not.
You can't be like Cain and be my brother.
Amen.
Because you may kill me. Can't be like Cain, family. Amen.
Amen.
Can't be like Cain. You know, that Cain spirit should not be in the church. Amen. Can't be like Cain. Says we must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. You know, question that. Am I my brother's keeper?
Right.
Yes, I am. And he said, now look, why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother was doing what was righteous. Every now and then, the world gonna get upset at you because you try to do what God wants you to do.
Right.
I pray that they don't kill none of us, but you know, evil is evil.
Yes, it is.
But we can't stop doing righteous all because the world is full of evil people. What we gotta do is get some of those evil folks saved. That's our job, is to present Jesus to them in a way that they will want to get saved. He says, now look, in verse 13 he says, so don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world, man, you desire to live righteous, you're supposed to go through some persecution. Amen. It comes with the territory. It comes with being a child of God. And you don't mind that persecution coming from the world. It hurts when it comes from the
church.
Because in the church, I'm supposed to find, well, Brother Anthony, you working with me today. You're going to make this very easy. I thought I was going to struggle trying to read all this into y'all hearing, because I know reading is not preaching. But, you know, I just have to make a point, and reading works for me.
Amen.
So now look, he said, now look, if, somebody say if.
If.
In this verse 14, if we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves.
Yes, it does.
Somebody say it proves.
It proves.
Love proves something.
Uh-huh.
Amen. It proves that we have passed from death to life. In other words, we are no longer spiritually dead, but because of love, now we are spiritually alive. He says, but a person who has no love is still dead. I hope we ain't got no dead folks in here today. Amen. If you ain't a dead person, say amen with me. Let me know you ain't dead. You know, that's because by you saying amen, that let me know at least you're my brother and my sister and you love me, because God said you're supposed to love me. If you're dead, you came in the right house to find some life. But if you want to stay dead, you just got to get out of here. I mean, because what I'm talking about is going to offend the dead. But the living ought to receive it and believe that God is speaking to my heart and want me to love like the world, like he loved me. Want me to love my brothers and sisters like he loved
me.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
So we ain't still dead.
Amen.
Now look at verse 15. It says, anyone,
anyone
who hates another brother or sisters is really a murderer. Man, I mean, John ain't cutting no. But John ain't taking no prisoners. Finley John ain't taking no prisoners. John said, man, if you don't love your brother and sister, you a murderer at heart. You on death row and don't even know it. You know, Jesus he got this from his teacher, because Jesus was kind of deep when he said, you know, if you look at another woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed it. So John is just saying that about love.
Uh-huh.
He says, anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. Now, if you're not a murderer at heart, you ought to be shouting right there.
Yeah.
Amen. You ought to be letting me know that this don't apply to you. This applies to your friend out there who's still hating on folk. They just murderers and don't know it. And it's your job to go out there and tell you that God called you a
murderer.
And you just don't know. You on death row forever because you don't know how to love. I know y'all can't carry that message to them. Y'all too scared to carry it to them. But you need to get them off death row. Love is the way they get off. Look at this. He says, and you know that murderers, somebody said
murderers,
don't have eternal life within them. I know I ain't supposed to say the kids in here, but you know, murderers gonna die and go to HELL.
Right.
I mean, got to go somewhere. We're going somewhere. They got to go somewhere. So if you're not a murderer, that shouldn't offend you at all. Amen. He said, no. He said, we're a murderer at heart, and there's no eternal life within us. Now look at this in verse 16. This is how we know real love. People done wrote songs about real love. They didn't get it out of the Bible, but y'all been singing it. Real love. I know it comes to some of y'all mind right now. Y'all just, I can see the words running through your head. Real. You thought you had real love, you out there. You know what I'm saying? And even know the definition of what real love was. Y'all know who made that song. Don't y'all get real holy on me right now. Yeah, y'all still got it in y'all playlist. Real? Look at this, what he says here. Robin, look this way, he said, verse 16. We know what real love is. Because Jesus gave up his life for us. So real love must involve sacrifice. So if someone tell you that they got real love for you and not willing to sacrifice for you, I present to you that they may not have real. They may say it with their lips, but in their heart they don't have real. So let me read that again. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Look at this. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, I'm glad he's not asking us for a martyrdom right there, you know, because I know some of us ain't ready for that. So he give us a mild example of how we can be sacrificial in our acts toward one another. He didn't say go out there and martyr, you know, become a martyr for someone. But if that was the case, love should compel you to do it. Uh-huh. I know none of them want that test right now, but if that test should come and your family men are at stake, love should compel you to be willing to die for your foe. Uh-huh. If you're the man in the house, you're the head of the house. And ladies, if you ain't got no man and you got a family, then guess what? You got a dual role. You got to be willing to lay it down for your children. Yes. Ah, God. Look at this. He says, if someone has enough money to live well, you ain't got to be rich, but just to live. Is there anybody here got enough money to live? Well, I mean, come on, y'all ain't got to be scared.
Yeah.
Well, I asked the Lord, Lord, see, live well means different things to different folks.
Yeah.
So I'm saying now, if you got enough money that you can fly from here to California and back, pay your car note, your rent, your electricity, and still have some money in your pocket,
right,
you got enough money to live. Yeah. But if you can't go no further than here to Mobile and come back, and then you got to have help. You got to have help to pay your light bill. Then this ain't talking to you. Because you ain't got enough to live. I ain't offending nobody. I'm just telling you, some people here living. And when living well comes the responsibility. Now, I wish all of us, that's the goal, all of us ought to want to live. But just in case there's somebody that's not living well, we have an obligation to show love. Now look at this. He says, if someone has enough money to live well, don't y'all living well get quiet right there. Y'all keep smiling. Keep smiling. I don't think nobody's going to ask y'all for nothing today, right? But just keep smiling. If you're living well, come on now. Don't get scared right here. Because it's a blessing to be able to say, I live
well.
If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in
need.
Now, there's a difference between their needs and their wants. So some folk want everything you got, and they don't need nothing you got. But if a person is in
need,
if you are that person who's living well and you see a brother or sister in need but show no compassion, compassion is more than sympathy. You know, you can just feel sorry for folks and do nothing for them.
Uh-huh.
Compassion requires you to take some
action.
So let me read that again. If someone has enough money to live well,
uh-huh,
and see a brother or sister in need but show no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Man, oh man, oh my.
Wow.
How can love be in you if you're living well and you know you got a brother or sister in strife,
uh-huh,
who can't even make their ends meet, and you living well enough to help that need? Where is your love?
Uh-huh.
I hear, feel some of y'all squeezing your wallet right now.
Come on, God is love.
Y'all love y'all money. Because you got enough of it to live.
Well.
But you don't believe it's for somebody else too.
Because
you got it, but you don't want to help.
Don't want to share.
But you say you love God.
Uh-huh.
And you love God's people.
Yeah.
Let me read on. He says, now look at this. Dear children, let's not merely say we love each other, but let us show the truth by our
action.
Every now and then, you're going to have to put your money where your mouth is.
Amen.
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 You know, in the hood, when you say you put up or shut up.
Uh-huh.
And talk a good game. But every now and then, you're going to have to show some love.
Amen.
And sometimes showing that love will require your resources.
Right.
Your hard-earned tax money. Your heart, part of your investment.
Uh-huh. God bless.
Got to be put to action,
uh-huh,
to help somebody in your family.
Yes.
Because you say you
love.
Now that's only talking about if you're doing well.
Uh-huh.
If you ain't doing well, that don't apply to you. Because you're on the other side of the coin. I submit to you, which side of the corner you want to be on?
Amen.
They're doing well?
Uh-huh.
They can go from here to California and still go to Disney?
Amen.
I don't wonder how your next meal gonna come.
Uh-huh.
So I submit, I believe most of y'all want to be in that category of doing
well.
Then if you're gonna do well and you're doing well, show it. He said, look, so I read that again. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. He says, look, our action will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Man, when we stand before God and we know that we have loved people like God loved people, then look, we don't have to be afraid. That's what we're going to let us know here in a minute. You can be confident. Because all of us are going to have to stand before him in judgment. But when you stand, if you've been loving right, you can be confident when you stand before him. You know, some people are going to be standing before him trembling. Want to know what the outcome is going to be. Where they're going to go. But that ain't you. People, when you stand before him, you can say, I'm going to just play the love card. I love people like you love people. So therefore, when I stand before you, I ain't going to be trembling. I'm going to be standing here with no fear. Some of y'all are going to be just trembling on you. If you think you're going to be trembling, today you came to church to hear me tell you, you need to fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
And then practice love, and you ain't going to have to be trembling when the end comes. Lord have mercy, let me read this, because I know, you know, I told you John's talk a whole lot about love in 1 John. And so look at this. In chapter 4 of 1 John, this passage, Apostle John continues with love as the major theme. He makes it clear that we truly know God through love. And love among Christians demonstrate love for God because God is love. That love was demonstrated intentionally by Jesus' sacrifice. Our response as children should be to love one another to the end. so that God's love may be perfected. That means it should reach its full destination in us, its full goal in us. In this passage, John masterfully intertwined our knowing God and our seeing God all to our love of God and God's love for us. And he said, we're all wrapped up in this thing together. Man, I know this is spiritual language over here. You just ain't going to get this in the natural. You got to see all this as a spiritual transaction. Because in the natural, it ain't going to make no sense. Y'all in 1 John 4? Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. Somebody, you got to keep doing it. It is not something you do one day and don't do the next day. You got to come. And we have to encourage others. People, friend, let's continue to love one another. Man, because if we don't continue to love, then something else is going to creep into place of love, and we're going to start displaying that. Something is going to fill the void if you don't have love there. So that's why we have to continue to love one another. In spite of, we got to continue to love one another. For, look what he said. For love comes from
God.
And anyone who loves is a child of
God.
And know God.
Yes.
Your love let me know who you belong to. He said that earlier. But it also let me know whether or not you really know your dad. Do you have any of his DNA in you? Because if you got some of his DNA in you, it ought to be showing up in how you love other
people.
He said, now look, but anyone who does not love does not, man, he keep using these, that's negative language. I know we don't like that. You know, when I was an instructor, they used to tell me anytime I give a sentence or make a statement or we give a test with not in it, you know, negative, we had to underline it so people don't just read over it and miss the question.
Right.
So he said, but anyone who does
not
love does not know God. If you don't love, you don't know God. You can run around talking about, I love, not know the Lord. No, you don't. I know the Lord. No, you don't. No, you don't. I ain't seen you love nobody lately. You can't love him because the Bible says you can't do it if you don't love folks. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is the very essence of who he is. All his attributes can come out of love. Now look at this. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through God. We said in our earlier message, he didn't just talk about love, he showed us love. He demonstrated that love, so therefore love is an action word. Every now and then, you're going to have to show people that you, lip service is not going to do it. Now look at this, hear that term is, man, come back to this. Then in verse 10, who made that song anyway? Who took that out of the Bible? Real love. Oh, that Mary J. Blige? Okay. I don't know if she read John or not, but anyway. Now, verse 10, Robin, he said, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin.
Yes.
So therefore, real love involves sacrifice. You can't tell somebody that you love them for real and you are not willing to sacrifice. If you're not willing to commit to something because of them, you can't just throw that word, I love you, around if you're not willing to sacrifice. We use it too loosely. Everybody, I love you. No, they don't. They ain't willing to do nothing for you. They living well. They won't even help you. They don't love you. They just say it. Man, I'm calling y'all to action today. Love is an action word. If God has blessed you, you got to show people that you
love.
This is real love. Let me read it again. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our. We know that. Now we have to tell others that. God loved you enough to send Jesus to take away your. So you don't have to continue to live in sin because the penalty for your sin has already been paid. If you continue to live in sin, it's because you want to. Because you just don't know God loved you enough while you were still sinning so that he would send Jesus to die for you just to let you know how much he loved you. You don't have to live like that because someone loved you enough to say he got better for it. It's our job to let people know that God has something better for them. He sees something in you that you don't see in your. He sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. That word got an S on it. When I was in school, I did learn a little bit about English language. S means plural. That's what I was told. You know, so plural means more than. Yeah, I mean, just play your life back. There ain't no one sinner in, one sin sinner in here. If you're a one sin sinner, you ought to stand up and shout. You'll stand up and, you know, I will give you the floor for about 5 minutes. Let you just get your dance off. If you made it through the world and you didn't have a one sin, we'll open up the doors and let you do your dance. I mean, I feel confident to say that there's no one sin sinners. You at least committed two sins. At least two. Some of y'all was repeat offender. You know how it is. Y'all know when you go to court and the judge say, you repeat offender? That means you're in trouble. I mean, I done seen you before. You done did that same thing over and over again. Now I need to put you away because you don't know how to change your behavior. So I'm glad that God didn't put us away. He sent Jesus to die for us, so he didn't have to put us away. Now look at verse 11. It says, so, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Now look, he kind of get in our face a little bit. He said, now look, no one has ever seen God. But if we love each other and God lives in us and his love, God's love, is brought to full expression in us and God gives us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. So whenever we operate in love, we have proof to show the world that we belong to God. And they can belong to God too. Love ought to be, we ought to have a full expression of love. In other words, the world ought to know because we're in God and God is in us. I hope y'all see this intertwining that's going on here, that God's in love, then that brings forth his spirit in us. This is a spiritual transaction, not a physical transaction, because when you got saved, you're supposed to have the spirit of God on the. So now if you got God's spirit in you, and God's spirit in him is one, and he is love, his spirit is love, then that means you ought to have some love. Love ought to be birthed on the inside of you and come out of. Man, I tell you what, man, couples, y'all need to read this. Y'all need to just go back. Don't even try to apply it to everybody. Just apply it to your house. Just go back and say, we need to get the Holy Spirit, we need to get God, and we need to get all that in us so we can be intertwined. You know, I like that we're intertwined. You know, kind of like once you, some of y'all have got your hair locked up and all that good stuff. I guess they intertwine, right? Because one of them, when you lock them, they don't come loose. That different braid up some stuff. You can just get home at night, just cut that, just braid it out, and you're, you know, combing out, and you look back like you used to. But when you get intertwined, when the little puppies get intertwined, yeah, they locked up. And there ain't no way, you got to cut them off. You can't, you just say, I'm going to just get a comb and take that knob, and we locked up. And that's what God said, look here. Yeah. Oh, Lord, I don't even know how I got there, but y'all responded. I don't even got there. Wait, look here. Some of y'all married folks better get locked up. Y'all better, oh God, y'all better. Y'all got to get intertwined so people can see the full expression of your
love. Real love.
God Almighty. He said, now look, and God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he live in us. Man, when you got the spirit, you got God. And so therefore, when you got the spirit, you got God, you got love. So therefore, if it's in you, you got to let it out of you. And the world ought to see God through your
love.
We're the way the world see God. When we walk around and we love one another like God loved us, that is how the world who don't know God see God. We have an obligation to let the world see God through us. And what better way to start than with a family in the church or the natural? Can you imagine what it would be like if all our married couples function like God wanted them to function?
Amen.
And that the world had to see marriage through you?
Amen.
And the love that you have, and they'll know exactly how God wants their marriage to?
Amen.
If you got the spirit in you, you ought to be an example for others.
Amen.
Oh my God, I know. I know, I know, I know. Y'all want to untwine that thing, whatever you have to do, y'all. Honey. Y'all better stop trying to undo stuff. You lost.
I hear him say amen.
You know, when you get your hair locked, in order to unlock it and cut it out, that's a sacrifice.
Oh,
well, you want to look a certain way for a period of time. So, if I apply that to a relationship, you ain't gonna look the same after you unlock.
Uh-huh. Amen.
It's gonna take you some time.
Yeah. All
right.
So you need to sit down and count the cost.
All
right. Is it worth it
all right.
to unlock
all right.
and go through what I'm gonna go through after I
unlock? Amen.
And look like what I'm gonna look like. After, now I ain't trying to tell you to stay in ugly, but you ain't gonna get out of ugly and be pretty right off the bat. Let me go back. That wasn't even my notes. That wasn't even my notes. Let me read on. So, he says, now let me read verse 14. He says, furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify, talking about their firsthand account of seeing Jesus, and now testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. So these guys were firsthand witness. John was an eyewitness to what happened with Jesus. We were not eyewitnesses. We had to believe the testimony of those who were eyewitnesses, and we have to talk about it just like we were witnesses of it. That's why part of our role as believers is to go out and witness to others about Jesus. We're witnessing based on their testimony. We didn't see Jesus on the cross. We didn't see him after he was raised from the dead. We didn't see the nail prints in his hand. We saw none of that. But we have a testimony that all those things happened. And so therefore, because he loves us and we love him and the Holy Spirit is in us, then we have to speak that just like we saw it. Because now we are his witnesses in the
church.
He says, all who confess, somebody say confess.
Confess.
All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them and they live in God. Man, you just can't untwine. Yeah, man, once you confess it. How many of y'all done confess that?
Amen.
If you done confess Jesus is Lord, give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 He says, all who confess that Jesus is Lord have God living in them and they live in
God.
Good God Almighty. I can't separate you from God. No wonder the writer could write, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. I mean, we locked together. Me and God so locked together, can't nothing come between us because I love him, he loved me, and the Holy Spirit makes sure we stay in love. Amen. Y'all need all three of those components. You got to have you, the Spirit, and God all working together. And when you do that, you can walk in love and the world can see God through you. He says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in. Man, that's a lot of living in right there. I mean, you got all that working on the inside of you. It got to show up on the outside of you. All who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in. So all of us should have God in us because we live in, and we live in love. Because God already told us he is
love.
Now look at this point I was trying to make earlier. He said, now look, he says in verse 17, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Our love grows more perfect. In other words, we become more complete. We're a work in progress, but the more we live in God, the more we practice love, the more we're going to be complete in love. Look at what he says. So we will not be afraid. Didn't I read about judgment a few minutes ago? So he says, so because I live in God, so I will not be afraid on the day of judgment. Because we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. So therefore, because I live in him, he live in me, and the Holy Spirit is in me, then therefore I can live with confidence that when I die, I ain't going to have to be fearful of judgment. I don't have to stand before the great judge of the universe and wonder what my fate is going to be. I am not fearful because there is no condemnation in Christ. So therefore, I can stand before him, and I'm going to be trembling like some folks. I know where I'm going. Amen. So I don't have to be fearful of somebody talking about hell or the burning fire and all that. Hey, he ain't talking to me. That's for somebody else who don't know love. I know love. And love say there is no condemnation ahead for me. That love should say the same thing to you. And so therefore, you don't have to be fearful. He says, now look, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect. So my question to all of you here today, are you sitting here in fear of punishment?
Amen.
Brother, because he said that if you're sitting here in fear of punishment, you have not fully experienced his perfect. You should not be sitting here in the house or listening to me online in fear.
That's right.
Because you have experienced God's
perfect love.
Now look at this. We love each other because he loved us first. So we just give back what has already been given. Now look at this. This way he kind of, you know, put us to the don't get caught in the lie test. Y'all sitting in church Sunday. Don't get caught in a lie. Can I read this?
Go ahead.
And if you get caught in this lie, don't say nothing right now. It'll be the wrong time to say something. It'll be the wrong time to say something right here, but I read this. Because I don't want you to be caught in a.
Amen.
If someone says,
yeah. Uh-huh.
You don't have to say it, but if you choose to say it, I love God,
right.
But hate a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. I listened to a guy named Gino Jennings. He said that word liar like with the emphasis. You're a liar. You're sitting up in here, you are. Not none of y'all. He was talking to his folk. He wasn't talking to Strive. Because we ain't got no liars in the house right now. Amen. Y'all, that's a good point to say amen right there. We don't have no liars in the house right now. For if we don't love people, we can see. How can we love God whom we cannot see? That's a simple question. You see me every day, I see you, but I've never seen God in the physical. But I say I love God, but I walk right by you. There's something wrong with my love. Last word, he says, and he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. That's a simple command. Maybe hard to follow, but it's not hard to understand. God expects us to love, and so therefore, we have to love one another in spite of one another. We told you last week, sometimes we got to make allowances for each other. I got to go into this thing knowing that one day I'm going to upset you, you're going to upset me. So I'm already got some money in the bank. So when you upset me, I got an allowance. Just take it out, the love account, and we still too. Cool, we still tight. I ain't gotta stop texting you. I ain't got to stop talking to you. I ain't got to run down the other way of the building when you come down the hall because I took some allowance out for you today. You took something out for me because, you know, I can get like that. So y'all just need to take some allowance. Because you see me every day and you ain't seen God. You're going to holler if you love him and ain't make no allowance for me. Then I question whether or not you love. Ooh, I know you're going to quiet. So in our text, we can see why John would have to be the one to write something that we've been reading about and probably the most known scripture in the Bible. And we're just going to close by reading it again and just making this point that we don't have to live in fear because Jesus came so that we don't have to feel like we are being condemned. So look at this again as I close. In John 3:16, we'll read 17 also. In the backdrop of this, Jesus had this conversation with a Pharisee. And you know, people don't even realize this conversation took place between him and Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a guy who knew the law. And Jesus kind of tripped him up when he said, Nick, you got to be born again. And you know, born of the spirit, and that's not of the flesh. And then he started talking about how Moses, you know, when he was, you know, in the wilderness, had to lift up the serpent. And God showed his love by letting everybody who would look up at the serpent, they would live, and everybody who didn't die. I guess that's why the medical profession had a little serpent wrapped around a pole. Because they're supposed to save lives, not kill folks. Amen. 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 So now then, look, we get to the text then. He says now in 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's us. We there. We. But now look at this. This is a good part. For God, in verse 17, did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. So we're not here to condemn folks that don't know Jesus. We're here to let them know that he loved them enough to die for them so that they could be saved. Because once they get saved, then there is no fear in that relationship with God. They don't have to stand before God trembling in fear because love has taken away the fear. And we need to let people know God loved them in spite of. No matter what you've done, no matter what they're doing, we need to let them know that God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn folk. That was not his purpose. Now, it's going to be different when he come back. But this time around, he was trying to let folks, hey, I'm here to save you, not to condemn you. But that the world through him, we have to carry on that assignment as believers. If you know people out there who are not saved, you're going to have to figure out a way to minister to them, to let them know that Jesus loved them in spite of what they're doing. And that he came so they would not have to be condemned. But it's up to them to confess him, to accept him. But they need to know they can't work their way to him. It's all, the work has already been
done.
And let them know, hey, you don't have to wait till you come off it to get saved.
Right.
Get saved while you're on it.
Yes.
And see if the Spirit can help you through that thing. Because if you don't get saved, you ain't going to come off of it. But if you get saved, it's a good possibility. So it takes love to go and minister to people who don't know the Lord, but we can't go there putting them in fear and telling them about hell right off the bat. They don't need to know about hell right off the bat. They're living in hell.
Amen.
You need to tell them about love so they'll figure out how they can embrace this thing called love through Jesus Christ and don't have to worry about condemnation. We have a powerful assignment to carry out. But I guarantee you, you can't do it if you don't love people. And it starts with the folk you already know. So get this. I'm through with this. If you don't love your brothers and sisters, it's a good possibility you ain't going to love them folk out there who are working for the devil. Because if they ain't your brother and sister, they're working for the other guy. And we got to go and show them that they're working on the wrong. And I like the way Brother Mike said yesterday when he said, miss me. Man, they already know they're condemned. You ain't got to go and condemnation ain't going to draw them. Bible said, with loving have I drawn thee. So therefore, practice love and kindness as we leave this place, man, because I preached 4 weeks about love, man. If you don't get this thing about love, then you ain't going to get God.
Amen.
Just that simple. You can't get God without love. Amen. And so therefore, that's why I want to encourage you to love people in spite of, but just show them love intentionally so that they can see God through you. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and I'm done.